No Girl Scout Thin Mint cookies were eaten during the making of this episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trophy Horrors. This is episode 23. I'm your host, Tricky Mick.
Loser.
Alongside with me, Hard Rocking Guy.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Hard Rocking Guy here. Very excited to be recording another episode of what?
Trophy Horrors.
Yeah. No. The number of the episode, what is it?
23. Yeah.
20 what?
23.
Is it Michael Jordan's number.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, episode 23. Very excited, guys. Very happy to be here.
All right. And also with us, we have Donnie.
What's up? Episode 23, Trophy Horrors. I'm happy and sad at the same time. Some personal stuff. But let's go.
All right. Also with us, we have a special guest. His name is Jeff Hanna. He's from Volition Studios.
Hi. Nice to be here.
All right. Jeff, why don't you tell our listeners what exactly you do for Volition?
I'm what's called a senior technical artist. I basically am a half programmer, half artist, and I spend my days making tools so that the artist can concentrate on making the best looking visuals for the game possible and not have to worry about the technical issues behind that to get them into the game and make them work.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, okay. You know, like in high school, there was that weird group of people that they weren't in the band and they weren't in the plays, but they hung out backstage and they were like the stage crew. The stage crew of the game development process.
Oh, yeah. We beat them up all the time.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, nothing.
I program tools for the artist is what it comes down to.
Nothing but respect for you, Jeff. Nothing but respect on Donnie's part.
Jeff, have you worked on any games that we would know?
And probably a lot you have never heard of. The most recent title I shipped was Red Faction Guerrilla. I'm currently working on Saints Row the Third. Before I started working at Volition, I did mostly MMOs in the PC space. Dark Age of Camelot was the big one. I also did contribute to Warhammer Online, but I left that company before the game shipped. And prior to that, it gets back into like the deep Dark Ages, and you guys wouldn't recognize a single title I named. I've been doing this since 1995.
Oh, smooth. That's a long time.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Before we record today, earlier today, I sent out some messages saying that we would be recording with you tonight. And I had a couple questions sent in. So if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you those questions.
Go for it.
All right. Our first one is a single player versus a multiplayer question. Does your company feel pressure when it comes to implementation of multiplayer or online experiences within your games?
I'm going to guess they're implying like market pressure, and I can't necessarily speak to the business decisions like that, but in terms of like developing it, really no, because Volition is very good about scheduling and planning for both single player and multiplayer components. On Red Faction Guerrilla, there were actually two entirely different design teams and actually almost two different programming teams in a number of respects. There was the one group that was doing the whole single player game, and then there was a whole other group working just right alongside us that was doing all of the multiplayer game development. I don't know if Red Faction Armageddon worked the same way because I wasn't on that development process, but Saints Row the Third, we certainly do have, you know, single player designers and multiplayer designers, and we're just looking at all aspects of the game at all times.
All right. And our next question is, does multiplayer help or hurt the development process when making a single player or multiplayer game?
It really depends on the game you're making. I mean, who would want to play a multiplayer adventure game, right?
Those are
single player experiences. Certain games, you can definitely tell that they focus more on one or the other. Like the Call of Duty games and the Modern Warfare games are clearly multiplayer first games that have a single player component to help sell the product. Other games, you know, like God of War, are definitely single-player experiences. So it really depends on what you're doing and what your focus is going to be. I much prefer the games that take a stand and have a strong decision one way or the other, as opposed to the ones that try to tack the missing part on just to see if they can increase sales, because the tacked on part is never nearly as good as if they had just taken those resources and focused on a very good other aspect of the game.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I think we were having that discussion for a couple episodes now on Infamous 2, because my personal feeling is that they added the user-generated content just to boost up sales, and it doesn't really help the game at all. But before we get into that conversation again, let's keep going with the questions.
Sure.
Next question. Do you feel you have to make a backstory or single-player experience in order for multiplayer to stand alone in the sea of online games?
That's a tough one for me to answer in my current situation, because in Volition, we focus on open world games, and they, you know, Saints Row 2 had co-op, and I think it had a very strong co-op. And Red Faction was a single player, very focused open world game that also did have a very strong multiplayer component. But as I said earlier, they were done by almost entirely two different teams. So the question really, it's almost like the answer to the previous one. It depends on what the developer wants to do. I don't think that you should try and make even a half-hearted single-player game to try and sell a multiplayer game, and I don't think you should do a half-hearted multiplayer implementation to try and sell a single-player game. Make the game that you want to make and make it outstanding.
All right. All right, our next question is, THQ has gone through some corporate changes. What changes are you excited about? What changes do you feel will help THQ stand out from the rest of the companies?
It's the one I'm most excited about is also the one that I think is going to help us stand out, and that is a very increased focus on what we refer to as core games. In the core games group, you've got Volition, Vigil, who did Darksiders, Relic, who do Dawn of War, and Chaos, who have done, you know, Frontlines and Homefront. They're the core gamer group, and there are others under core. And then also THQ has the other divisions. They've got the kids divisions and the other, you know, casual games types of divisions. But it used to be that it was the kids games that got the focus, and then core was just something that THQ did. And now they're focusing much more on the core studios and the core titles. And as everyone probably saw from the marketing push they did for Homefront, and what we're starting to ramp up for with Red Faction Armageddon, is they're really willing to put the money behind these games and push them to get us out there to stand toe-to-toe with the other publishers for the console titles and the hardcore PC titles.
All right. Okay, now I have three questions. Since we are a trophy-based podcast, these next three questions are going to be based on the trophies. What is THQ's and Volition's mindset when it comes to trophies / achievements?
We work on those from the get-go. Now, some of the games, like in Saints Row 2 era, trophies probably did feel a little tacked on, but that was because those games were almost in the can by the time that PSN started to support those. But when possible, we factor those in as soon as we can. The list of trophies in Red Faction Guerrilla were actually generated by suggestions from the team members. I know that there's one in there. It's called Tank Buster. I think you have to blow up 100 of those blue hydrogen tanks. That was mine. I suggested that one. And every single one of them on there came from a team member. So we're all thinking about them. We all have funny ideas for them. And it's not like we finish the game and suddenly go, ugh, now we got to do all the trophies quick. Somebody bang something out in 4 hours. We think about them and add them whenever we come across one we think will be good.
Ah, very good. So next question is, are they an afterthought once the game is complete?
Absolutely not. No, once the game's complete, we kind of don't want to look at it again, right? It's done.
Okay, and the last question is, are trophy sets given some thought with the development of your products, or do you feel they're forced into making the trophies for your games? Now, I mean, I know you just answered that, but, I mean, do you feel like you're forced to put them into the game?
No, absolutely not. Now, I mean, you're forced at a certain level in that both Sony and Microsoft have what are called the technical certification requirements for your title. It's a big book, and there's all sorts of things in there that your game has to do or not do in order for them to accept it. And I believe that both the Sony and the Microsoft documents stipulate that you have to have a certain number of achievements or trophies in your title. So in that regard, you know, we do have to sort of do them, but it's not like THQ is calling us up every day or knocking on the door going, hey, by the way, you got to put in 5 more achievements. They're what we do for the game because we want to do them, but they're also something that we kind of have to do to get the game accepted and published. But there's no animosity there. We like doing them.
All right. Now, gentlemen, Hard Rock or Donnie, do you have any questions for Jeff, or do we want to move on?
Oh, I sure do.
All right.
Are you hiring?
If you go to www.volition-inc.com/jobs, you'll see all the open positions we currently have.
Sweet.
All right. And Hard Rock, do you have any questions?
I actually don't have any questions. I just want to give him a little bit of praise. Like we were talking about before the show, me and my friends were big fans of Red Faction Guerrilla. And, you know, like I said, we still rock that game to this day because it's so fun. So I just wanted to give you a big dance for making a great game.
Well, thank you. I'll pass it on to the rest of the team, too. I can't take all the credit for it. I will say, I mean, we were talking before the show and, you know, it mentioned earlier on that I've been doing this since, you know, 1995. For all the titles I shipped, I really think that Red Faction Guerrilla is probably one of the best ones I've ever done. It was also one of the most interesting ones to work on because of the GeoMod system.
All right. All right, so let's move on to our actual core of the show. You know, as we do every week, we give you an updated trophy count. Currently, I am level 17. I have total trophies of 2,475. That's one more than last week.
Loser. And
still got 17 platinums. Hard Rocking, what are you looking at?
I had the screen.
Aren't you funny?
I'm actually looking at level 18, total count of 2,986 trophies. I am about 14 trophies away from getting 3,000 and with 20 plats. So.
All right. And Donnie?
Level 17, and I'm actually moving up quite rapidly.
Yeah, sure.
Level.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, sure.
And my trophy count is 2,405. My platinum count is still 32.
All right. And Jeff, I know you...
I've got an Xbox Live Gamer score of about 15,000.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know you don't have a PS3 at home, but... You know, what was your achievement score? But you already covered that.
Yeah, I have a PS3 at work, like we were talking about earlier, but it's a development kit, and it can play retail games, but it doesn't connect to PSN, so any achievements I make actually aren't ranked. So I really don't know what I would have done at this point.
All right.
That was steamy so bad.
Not knowing how many trophies you have?
Yeah, I'm watching them pop on the screen, but they don't register. I can't count.
I'm too busy just trying to make sure the game works to pay attention to that stuff, right?
All right. So our next topic is what we are currently playing. Let's start with Jeff. Obviously, you're playing the games you're working on, but are you playing anything socially?
Minecraft.
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 Very
actually,
nice.
You know, I haven't turned either one of my consoles on in over a month at this point. It's been a real busy month. Between going to GDC in San Francisco and then going over to Shanghai to visit our outsourcers. Then I get back from there, and as I was talking to you earlier, Tricky, like I'm digging through my email or digging through my snail mail after being out of town for 3 weeks, and boom, I've got jury duty 2 days later, and that took a week out of my life. And I'd like to play a game. I just haven't had the time.
So how was jury duty? Was it as bad as everybody makes out to be?
On the last day, I actually saw the inside of a courtroom, but they didn't pick me to be on the jury. So it was 5 days of sitting around doing absolutely nothing. Oh, but I did buy the Ace Investigator, the little adventure jury duty games that they had, the adventure games they have for the DS. I figured it would be like on the job training. So I'm sitting there in the waiting room playing those things, right?
That's always good.
I was all ready to stand up and yell objection. And then somebody told me that if I wasn't a lawyer, I couldn't do that.
All right, Donnie, what are you currently playing?
I'm currently playing a little bit of Sonic 2, thanks to you. And I just got finished playing that Whack My Aquarium. Oh, that is some good, man. I can't believe I got almost all the trophies in it, though.
Jeff worked on that game, man. How can you say that?
Wait. You're playing an aquarium simulator?
Yeah, I'm sorry, well, man.
You got to use the move and you shake the little thing of fish food?
No, it's not even move enabled.
No, it's not.
Is it 3D, though? Can you put the glasses on and watch the fish?
Nope.
You got to listen to me. You just watch. You look at fish, watch, and hopefully a trophy just might pop up.
Really?
Yes. I'm like,
at least with a slot machine, you get to pull the handle for the random encounter.
That's what I'm saying. They don't even show the fish eat each other. I'm like, oh my God, are you serious? Can I see a shark come out of nowhere?
You're not like literally pulling my leg. There is, in fact, just a game for the PS3 that just shows a screensaver.
Yes.
It's called My Aquarium.
That's what it is, a screensaver that just might give you a trophy.
It's called My Aquarium, and it has, I think, a total of 20 trophies that me and Hard Rockin' both got in less than an hour playing the game.
I'm going to have to check the library at work and see if we have this and put it in my dev kit and just let it run.
It's a PSN download only.
Oh, nuts. Oh, well.
Man.
But you can get it for like $2.99. But they just released some DLC for it, too.
Wow. I actually got that, and wow, what did they add? They gave me 2 puffer fish. Wow.
Do they ever die and like turn upside down and float to the top?
No.
No. Well, if they do, you won't see
it. I did. Mine did.
Oh, yours did?
Oh, I want some action like that. Can I get some action like that?
Tell you what. Stick a camera in front of your TV running the aquarium screensaver and then post it on YouTube so we can all see the fish die.
I'm the only person who killed the virtual fish. Great.
I'm gonna try that. I had to go to my, when you change the date and time, and I went all the way to next year of, I think it was like the 4th month of next year, just to get some more fish.
That's what you have to do to get 100% in that game.
Yeah, but still.
Because otherwise you have to literally play the game legit for over a year in order to get the game. Get all the trophies.
I got all the trophies.
That game was like terrible. What was they thinking just sitting down? They're like, you know what? Hey, let's do this. Let's actually put this out here and see how much money we make.
Donnie, all right. Donnie.
There's 3 guys that have bought it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, there was 1 guy that bought it, 2 guys that game shared it. But let's move on. Hard Rock, what are you currently playing?
I am currently rocking more Killzone 3, man. That game is just awesome. The Steel Rain DLC just got released on the PlayStation Store just this past Tuesday. And it added 2 maps, which is Storms and the Graveyard, I believe. And man, that game is still, I'm still loving that game. I'm still rocking that game a lot. So other than what was that?
I was going to say, yes, you're very welcome.
No. I actually went out and I bought it.
Did you buy it?
Yes, I bought it. I bought it.
Because I purposely didn't download it until like 1 a.m. So you would have to like fiend for it.
Oh, no. Trust me. I came home from work. I sat down. As soon as I turned on my PlayStation, I went right to the store. I was like, it's right there. I was like, I don't care. I'm getting this. So, and other than Killzone, I'm actually, you know what? I'm actually playing Borderlands with a Sin Seeker 86. We actually started rocking Borderlands all over again, which is a great game, and which I have all the DLC for that I never actually went back and played.
I love that game.
Oh, I love that game so much too. Actually, you know what? They just had it on for sale on Steam.
I've got the PC version. Other than the Mad Moxie DLC, I did not care for at all. I think that one kind of brought the whole thing down, but the rest of it was just outstanding.
Yeah, the Zombie Island one I've actually completed already. I'm actually working on the Secret Armory of General Knox one right now. So.
That one's great. I love the voice acting in that thing.
Yeah, that one's actually really good. And I haven't yet started the Claptrap Revolution one. So, you know, that one I'm playing. And that's basically it. I'm just playing a bunch of DLC. I'm still playing Grand Theft Auto 4. I'm going back and playing The Ballad of Gay Tony because I never actually finished it. I downloaded it but never completed it. So, yeah, just a bunch of DLC. That's pretty much it.
All right, and currently I am just still playing DC Universe Online. I have my 4th level 30 character, and my 5th level 30 character is already up to level 17. So I figure I'm about a week and a half away from getting the platinum in that game, which is going to make me very happy.
Loser.
listen, you can crack on me about all my platinum trophies, but I'm putting a month and a half into getting this platinum, so it's going to be worth it.
Okay. You know what? No joke. If you go out and you get the platinum for DCEU, for DC Universe Online, I will not give you any shit whatsoever about that, because that is actually a pretty good game that a lot of people like, and you know it. You did grind for those trophies, so I will not give you crap if you do get the platinum for it.
No, right. How about you? When he gets the platinum for DC, you just suck it up and get the Hannah Montana.
How about you be quiet? You are complaining, guys.
Jeff, what you should know is both me and Donnie have the platinum in Hannah Montana.
No, I shouldn't know that. No,
exactly. You did not know that.
Really, that's something you should never tell anybody.
Listen, a true trophy whore goes out and gets all platinums. And that is a must need for any true trophy whore.
Like, yeah, they got the platinum in Hannah Montana, Shrek Forever After.
Listen, you went and got the platinum in Terminator, so I don't want to hear it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because Terminator is just as bad as like Hannah Montana. Uh-huh, sure.
All right, let's move on to our first topic of the day. In a big letdown with everybody, Jihad has actually settled his case with Sony.
I wanted blood.
I can't understand why Sony gave in. And everything I'm reading online, a lot of the supporters of Jihad are really pissed off about this because of all the money they sent for him to fight this. And then he just turns around and gives a big fuck you to everybody.
Okay. He asked for donations to fight his legal battle, and then he settles. Oh yeah, like that wasn't really gonna happen. You know, a lot of people weren't expecting that. Seriously, they weren't expecting something like that to happen.
I'm really pissed off that Sony wasn't able to go after him, because I think this opens the door to let any hacker say, listen, we could do this, and then Sony will just settle with us.
Oh, but I don't think he got anything out of this. It's not like they settled, but I think he was the one willing to take the settlement, because if you look at the punishments that are still being like put down on him, it's pretty restrictive, the things he can and can't do. And Sony gets what they wanted, which is to basically shut the guy down from ever touching another Sony product to do the same things to it. But I thought it was very funny, like the day after this all came down, he made this big blog post about how, well, yes, he's not allowed to do these types of activities on Sony hardware anymore, but because of all this, he's never going to buy another Sony product, and he's basically telling other people that they should do the same thing. And I'm like, yeah, take that, Sony, right? Ooh, he's going to get you now.
Well, I mean, from the article that I'm reading on Kotaku, it says that basically he just has to refrain from publishing any information that's already out there.
Which, I thought he also was not allowed to do any future exploration on Sony hardware ever.
I hadn't read that. I mean, that's possibly true, but I haven't personally read that. But I do know that, you know, it goes into the whole long debate that, you know, your PS3, you bought it, it's your product, you should be able to do whatever you want with it. But on the outset, you know, that's always going to be a debatable issue. But I think right now he can do whatever he wants. He's just not able. He's not allowed to publish the information and say, this is how I did it.
Right.
Exactly. That's basically what I said. Just keep it to yourself.
But I mean, a lot of his supporters are really pissed off that they sent him this money to fight his case. And
wow.
Okay. Now he's going to turn around and settle it.
Wow. He had this. He had the network. And oh, my God, I can't believe he had my pockets, too. Why would he hack my pockets? Jeez.
He's given anything left over to the EFF, I believe.
Yeah, he did say that any money left over he was going to donate to a charity.
Right, which is donate to a charity or end up with a gigantic tax burden on the income. So that's right. Probably the best decision for him.
But he's going to find a way to hack to get his money back.
So basically everybody that donated money just donated to that charity, only it's going under...
Yeah, they don't get the tax deduction for it. He gets the tax deduction for it.
Right, so he's basically getting a huge tax deduction for settling his case.
Yeah.
So, do you guys have any more comments about that, or do we want to move on to the next topic?
I wanted blood.
I do, too.
I wanted blood.
All right, so our next topic is Sony has officially scheduled their E3 2011 press conference for June 6th. The venue has not been announced yet, but that is the date for Sony's press conference. You guys excited about that?
Yeah.
No, I don't get the E3 until the 7th.
You don't get there until the 7th?
Yeah, I don't play until Tuesday. Oh, well.
We can always fly in a day early.
Well, I'm not changing my ticket now.
Okay.
So, you know. Oh, well, they wouldn't have invited me anyways.
All right. Yeah, Donnie, you said you want to go?
Yeah, I want to go. I tried to get some tickets, but they sent me a letter saying, nope. And no. That's it. Yeah. That's what it basically
I think E3 basically shut down a lot of outside tickets. Only like big name companies can get the tickets nowadays.
Well, no, they said it's open to the public. You just got to pay that $300 per ticket.
I heard it was $500.
Oh, well, it might have been $500. I might have said it wrong. But yeah, they said the letter I got said, well, we don't want to have like, you know, people like us as far as like being like some kind of network out there.
What the rule is this year that your website has to have something like 8,000 page views a month in order to possibly qualify for a pass.
Wow.
They made the barrier of entry pretty impressive this year. And everybody in the industry arguably can apply for and get a free pass, but that's hit or miss. I tried last year and they told me no. Right. And this year, Will Wright, he applied and then very vocally tweeted. I guess you can't say vocally tweeted, but they turned him down because they said Stupid Fun Club was not an industry company. They didn't give Will Wright a free pass to the show. Wow. And so the ESA is just, it's kind of hit or miss. Like I applied this year with the same packet of information I sent them last year. And they're like, yeah, sure. Here's your free pass. Come on. I'm like, well, okay. Well, that's 50%, I guess. I'm batting 500.
Well, all right. Our next topic is new Infamous 2 trailer has come out showing off the behemoth and user-generated missions. This is a topic that's taboo for me, as our listeners know already. But I'm going to give a chance for Hard Rockin' to say his piece.
No, you don't want to say anything about this?
I'm going to keep quiet on this.
I'm going to make sure that Infamous 2 topic is in every single agenda until the game actually gets released. You sure you don't want to say anything?
Why don't you talk about the topic at hand, Hard Rock?
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Ooh, he's got
I will say the behemoth looks great. The graphics are looking great. That's all I'm going to say.
I got to poke the bear, man. I got to poke the bear. That's what it is. Okay. Sucker Punch went ahead and released some new video of Infamous 2, which actually it looks, wow. You know, just, the video of it actually shows Cole fighting off a huge, I guess, behemoth, since Tricky's already spoiled it. You know, and it's just like this huge monster that has like, you know, like it has like 15 legs and it's got like 18, you know, mouths. And all this other stuff. I mean, this thing just looks like a huge monster. And, you know, Cole was just like fighting it just, you know, head on with all his powers, just chucking everything, you know, from cars to electric blasts to everything. You know, there's guys, you know, coming out in the streets. So trying to fight Cole and, you know, the graphics on it just look amazing. I mean, and it's almost up to like Uncharted 2 quality.
Ooh.
Yeah, it looks really sweet. Donnie, have you had a chance to see it yet?
Nope, I didn't get a chance. I was looking over some stuff, and I only came across the Mortal Nest thing. And
okay, yeah. And Jeff, have you had a chance to look at it yet? Or
yeah, I did. And the one thing I noticed was the release date. So regardless of how good it is, I will have already been playing Red Faction Armageddon for a week, and I'll be like, huh, what? What? Oh, some other game came out. Yeah, I'm just gonna keep playing Red Faction Armageddon.
Oh, so you just had to get that in, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. Every time I say it, actually, they give me more bonus. So Red Faction Armageddon, Red Faction Armageddon, Red Faction Armageddon. No, it's very funny to me that when Guerrilla came out, it came out within 1 week of Infamous, and now Red Faction Armageddon and Infamous 2 are coming out 1 week apart of each other. I don't know why we keep scheduling our release dates right next to each other like that, but you know, probably the next Red Faction and the next Infamous will be 1 week apart from each other. It's just this never-ending situation we have.
Was that some inside information knowing that another Red Faction game's coming out?
No, I'm totally making that up.
I'm just joking.
We're knee deep in Saints Row the Third and Insane at this point. So other than that, we haven't announced anything.
All right.
Wow.
You said Insane?
Insane, the project Volition's doing with Guillermo del Toro.
Yes. Great director, by the way.
Yeah.
All right,
He's already been out to the studio a couple times. Very, very interesting gentleman.
All right.
I don't mean to derail the discussion about the Sucker Punch game. I'm sure it's outstanding, but not nearly as good as a Volition game.
Okay.
Which game again?
The Sucker Punch making Infamous 2. Do we need to back up here a little for you?
No. I was giving you a chance to plug the name so you could get more bonus.
Oh. Saints Row the Third.
Which game? I'm just trying to help brother out, man. I'm just trying to help.
What's the game you got coming out that's May 31st?
That's Red Faction Armageddon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Saints Row the Third's later this year. Holiday 2011.
All right, so our next topic is Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition is confirmed as DLC coming out on June 7th. And the retail product is coming out June 28th in North America.
Why?
That's exactly what I was about to say. Why do we need an arcade edition of this game?
Because they're running out of stuff to make. They're running out of sequels to the same game. You know, they got Super Street Fighter 4, Mega Super Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade, Super Street Fighter 4 3D Edition, Super Street Fighter 4. I mean, how many more they gonna be just like all the previous Super Street Fighter games?
This is turning into Street Fighter 2 all over again.
Exactly.
If you go back a few minutes, you were talking about how the Sony E3 press date is June 6th. I think their whole press conference is just going to be announcing that the arcade edition comes out as DLC the next day.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe so I think you've ruined it for them now.
Oh, well. Maybe PlayStation Plus will get it for free. All right. So basically, we're all in agreement. Like, why does this game need to come out?
Yeah.
Is it coming to the arcade?
No, it's coming to consoles.
Then why did it have arcade in the title?
I don't know.
It's the arcade version. It's a different version with different characters.
With two more characters.
Yeah, with basically just like two more characters that they're going to be releasing on the console. What I don't understand is that why Capcom just seems to just want to keep doing this with their games. I mean, it's like Street Fighter 4. Super Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. I mean, it's the same thing as like Resident Evil 5, Resident Evil 5 Gold Edition. It's like that. You know, they keep like hashing the same thing over and over again. I mean, you know, unfortunately, as much as I hate to say it, Capcom is not really like, in my opinion, like really, you know, hitting it really good. You know, this generation of games.
I think they're afraid to move on.
You just took the words right out of my mouth. They're afraid to move on.
Okay, it is worth noting that I did say it's coming out June 7th as DLC, which means that if you have Super Street Fighter 4, you can download the content and it will work with that game. But if you don't have Super Street Fighter 4 already, the retail product will come out June 28th. So,
just as long as you have one of the Street Fighter 4s.
No. It doesn't work with Street Fighter 4. Only the Super Street Fighter 4.
Oh, okay. This is only one of the Super Street Fighter 4 games?
Yes. All right. Next thing we got is Dead Rising 2 Off the Record is coming out, which I never really got into Dead Rising. I think Hard Rock and you got into Dead Rising a lot, right?
I got into Dead Rising for a couple of days. I love zombie games. I love, you know, the old Resident Evil games. I love the old, you know, I just love like zombies type of stuff and like that. And, you know, since I don't have an Xbox, since I don't have a 360, I never got to play the first Dead Rising game except for maybe just like a couple of times with my friend, which I thought was pretty cool. So when they finally released Dead Rising 2 for the PS3, I went out and I picked it up and I
regret it.
I don't regret it. I just didn't think I would get bored of a zombie game, you know, to tell you the truth. Probably because the game wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Maybe I was thinking that the game was going to be something different, which, you know, it, you know, it, You know, the game was just not what I thought it was, like that. But once again, this goes back to the conversation we just had with Capcom. Once again, just rehashing the same game over again. I mean this game, I from what I read, is literally gonna be Dead Rising 2, just without
with the new subtitle.
With the character from the first guy from the first game.
Yes, I mean, basically this game is going to be the exact same game. Only instead of playing as Chuck Green, you're playing as Frank West.
That's all it is.
Are you kidding?
That's exactly what it is. It's the exact game, just different hero.
It's not like the same story told from a different viewpoint. It's the same game.
Same exact game. You're just playing as Frank West and not Chuck Green.
Wow. They really couldn't make him an add-on character.
Did Chuck Green have the camera to take the erotic pictures of the zombies like Frank did in the first game?
I don't know. I never played Dead Rising 2 more than like 10 minutes.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think the other guy was like a motorcycle stunt guy or something.
Yeah. Chuck Green, the backstory is he was like one of the somehow fighting zombies got turned into like a TV show between Dead Rising 1 and Dead Rising 2, and Chuck Green was like one of the best contestants in the show, I thought.
Yeah.
That's from what I understand. I think Chuck Green's daughter was infected as a zombie, and he had to keep giving her Zombrex to prevent her from turning.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yes.
Oh, wow. But they really couldn't make him an add-on character, though.
Yeah, which I don't understand, because now you're putting Frank West in Chuck Green's shoes, but Frank, how are you going to play with the whole daughter issue in the game?
Well, Frank's got the camera. He's going to take the racy pictures of her.
Oh. But it's just sad.
And actually, you know what? It all starts to fit together now, right?
Like, come on, girl. I got some zombies for you. Zombies for you.
Donnie just made that sound completely creepy right now. That's just terrible.
That was bad. Yeah, I just don't understand Capcom's reason for doing this at all whatsoever.
It's like I said, you know, it just goes back to the whole thing, you know, where it's just like Capcom just, rehashing stuff all over again and like that. I have no idea why they're doing this, but.
Maybe they're not just enthusiastic anymore.
All right. And let's move on to a topic that Hard Rockin' just added to the agenda.
Yeah, I'm adding stuff right now. So.
Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City has a new trailer.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Yes.
No, Donnie, you tell us about it.
Let's go to the first guy who just got told about it.
All right. Well, before you start, Jeff, do you know it? Have you seen the trailer yet?
No, because really the link just popped up in Google Docs about a nanosecond ago. I can make some really educated guesses, though. There's zombies. And the camera controls will be something that half the people like and half the people don't. And you'll never have enough ammo.
That was a great guess. That's actually the better guess than Tricky and Donnie probably could have ever done. Trust me.
You know what? That probably is better than what I would have did. But I read a little article in the magazine. It seemed like it might be worth actually playing it.
But that has nothing to do with the new trailer.
I haven't seen the trailer.
All right. Hard Rock.
Enough what I read.
Take a look at the trailer while I talk about it.
Yeah, start talking about it.
Okay, thank you very much. I like that. Yeah, there is a new trailer out there for Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City. As you know, the developers of the game are Slant 6 Games, which I will not say anything bad. I will hold my tongue.
Stay calm. Stay calm.
My blood pressure is a little high, so I just... You know, it's just that they went ahead and released a new trailer. I've read some opinions about from certain websites on certain people who have tried it, and they're saying that the game is almost pretty much just like a SOCOM game. It's like no different, nothing, you know, anything special about it, but that it plays just like a SOCOM game, and a lot of people are actually not that impressed with it. But once again, you know, it's an early build of the game. You know, I'm sure Slant 6 can go and fix it.
You're gritting your teeth. I can hear it.
Do they give a release date?
They still have not given a release date on this. I'm sure it will be postponed for that. So I just,
the release date is Q4 2011.
Somebody else please talk before I can, before I say something.
They've still got six. They've got a lot of time. Games can, near the end of development, games can change pretty radically, pretty quickly.
Yeah, Duke Nukem.
Are they near the end of development on that one? I didn't get the memo.
They just delayed it for another month again.
Wow, that's almost infinitesimal based on the previous number of delays I've had.
Yeah, 12 years of delays.
Yeah,
delay. Wow. I mean, I told everybody, I was like, it's like, are you really surprised that they delayed Duke Nukem again? Are you seriously, you know?
We talked about this with I think it was Dave we had on the show, and it was like they made such a joke of it, but people are really getting pissed off about this now. I mean,
now. Well, right, the previous 12 years, they were okay with
exactly,
it. Right?
Okay, exactly. Exactly.
After you got to figure, like, after 10, 11 years, people just assumed it was dead in the water. It was not coming out. Then they turn around and say, okay, yeah, now it's actually coming out. Here are screenshots. Here's a video. And then they say, this is the release date. We're gonna meet this release date. And the guy comes out to delay, and they make a joke of it. I mean, if they just left it dead in the water, it would have been fine.
Well, but
you come out and you so strongly say, yes, we're going to meet our date. Then you come out and you make a joke of it because you got delayed again.
Okay. But what else could they do about that? I mean, they knew that by them delaying the game, they're going to get berated, and that they were going to go like, oh yeah, big surprise, Duke Nukem's delayed again.
Yeah, but don't come out and say, come to our forums and yell at us.
Well, why not? I mean, that's the only thing they could do. I mean, okay, like, that wasn't going to happen if they didn't announce it.
Okay, well, Jeff, you in the game industry, right?
Yeah, and I'm just doing some mental math here, and literally Duke Nukem was delayed for the entirety of my 30s.
Well, I was just about to ask you something.
And then some. Like, oh, wow.
Great statistic.
Does it really take that long to develop a game? Does it?
Well, it can take forever to develop a game, but you also have to somehow have infinite amounts of money and no desire to actually ever ship it. They're getting complex. I will admit that much. I mean, Guerrilla was a 5-year development process, and that's on the long side. We're trying to get them down to about, you know, 28 to 36 months at this point. A lot of the early development in Guerrilla went towards Geomod 2, and that was a real engineering struggle. But you gotta weigh time, which is money, against how much you're going to make back, right? Because the longer you take and the more you pay to do it, then you're looking at more and more copies you have to sell. And yeah, some of these games are pushing 5, 6, 10 million sometimes copies sold, but that's like hitting black on the roulette wheel. That's a once in a lifetime shot sort of thing. Your average game is going to do 1.75 to maybe 2 million on a good day, and that's like the AAA titles. There's a lot of titles that won't even do that. I mean, some you're looking at a couple of 100,000 units sold. So if you put 12 years of funding into a game, there's a big number of units that they're going to have to push to truly ever make back every dime that was ever spent on that thing. Now, with accounting being the way it is, and as many people that have worked on the game over the years, who knows what that number actually is, or if there's any desire whatsoever to do that. But you know, just absolute hard numbers to recoup everything invested into a 12-year development cycle. That's gigantic.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking when the game comes out, it actually comes to the stores. The release date is here today. The game is here in stores right now.
Nobody, and then Gears 3 will come out.
Yeah,
because they're not going to believe it. It's not going to sell because nobody's going to believe it's out.
Man, game companies have gone on broke and out of business because of Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah.
I mean, it has literally closed down, you know, game companies like that.
A couple studios.
I'm trying to trace back everyone who worked on it, and I can't even think of all of them.
Okay. Can you imagine the credit? Like, okay, let's say you go out there, you buy Duke Nukem Forever, you play the game, and then it's like, we would like to thank everybody who's worked on this game. Do you know how long the credits are going to be for that game?
If they even still have a record of that.
Right.
I was just about to say that. It's like, the credits for that game after you beat it must be, like, extremely long.
It's probably gonna be the same length as it took you to beat it.
They're gonna have to put the credits in chronological order from 1995 to 1996. This is who worked on the game.
Ashley, go come out with a special. You come out with a special edition. This one is the game, and this two is the credits.
Not even entire Blu-ray could fit on that.
All right. Let's not pick on Duke Nukem Forever because we were talking about Resident Evil. But
I think it's going to be worth playing Resident Evil. I'm really looking forward to it.
I have my opinion.
What?
About you know,
Slant 6.
About what?
A Slant 6.
No, it's just the game, like I said, from the opinions that I've read, a lot of people are saying that it plays like SOCOM and not a very good version of SOCOM, and I'm just like, that's, I don't know, you know, let's just move on.
Here's hoping they'll it'll be at their booth at E3 so I can get some hands-on time with it.
True. Who knows? You know what, honestly, to tell the truth, it might just blow everybody out of the water, and if it does, and if it's a good game, I will be the first one to admit on the show that I was wrong.
All right, I have that recorded. So
you have that recorded. You can put that in the show.
All right, let's move on to our last topic before we move on to our guest topic. The first Mortal Kombat Legacy webisode is now available, and I have to say, I loved it.
You would.
I did. I didn't know what the heck it was, and I'm looking at it. When it first came on, I'm like, man, what the heck is this? But then I seen who was playing Jax, which is Michael J. White. Oh, he is so dreamy.
That's cool, man. Black Dynamite? That dude is cool, man.
Yes. Yes, I was like, oh, this. I don't even like Jax. I can't stand Jax as a character, but I like him now because Michael J. White playing him.
See, I don't remember the actress's name, but she played 7 of 9 on Star Trek.
Jerry Ryan.
Jerry Ryan playing Sonya Blade. That has got to be great right there.
This is the commissioned webisodes based off that like indie fan film that came out like 9 months ago or so.
Right.
Now, I haven't seen this yet. I'll have to go find it.
Oh, this it's about 12 minutes long, and it's basically going to be a chapter story. You know, they're going to release one show a week until I think they got a total of 12 episodes. I could be wrong about that. Don't quote me on that. But I know that, you know, there's a significant amount of episodes that are going to come out and they're going to come out once a week.
I already quoted you on Twitter.
I can tell you, like, this 12 minutes is better than both movies.
You know what? I don't agree with you much, Donnie, but yeah, I have to agree with that.
Okay. The first movie wasn't that bad.
Yes, it was.
The first Mortal Kombat movie wasn't that bad. The second one was just horrific. Okay.
I loved in the first one, they're having that fight out in that, like, that forest of, like, the trees are really skinny and there's, like, in a perfect grid pattern. And in one of the shots, a car goes driving by in the background.
That is true. Yeah.
What happened?
They're having one of the fights and they're in like, it's all gray and there's like these really skinny trees and there's just like hundreds of them, but they're all sort of laid out in a grid pattern. So there's, and the camera's panning across it and off in the distance, you just see a car go from right to left across the back.
I never noticed that.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that now.
Yes, I got
it. I'm going to have to suffer through a bad movie just to see a car drive by.
Well, you just find the right chapter, right? Blu-rays have chapters, right?
Right. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have to watch it in Blu-ray too to get all of the fine detail in that movie.
I don't think VHS can pick that up anymore.
I actually have those movies on DVD to tell you the truth because I found them in the bargain bin at one of my local stores. And
what were they, $2 a piece?
Yeah, literally, they were both $1.99. I saw them, and I was like, "Oh no way!" I was like, "These movies are so bad, they're good. I gotta buy these. I gotta."
You know, I would have bought them too.
Yeah, I can't say I wouldn't have.
I'm trying to think of how much they would be on Blu-ray. Actually,
$1.99. I bet you when he's saying.
I'm gonna Google that right now. Mortal Kombat Blu-ray.
Don't do it right now.
I'm doing it right now. I'm curious.
The listeners must know.
They're $1.99 on Blu-ray and DVD.
No, no, $12.86 at Walmart.
That's wow. Not a robbery, man.
$14.99 at Target and $17.09 at Barnes & Noble.
Ooh, seven.
Wow. You're just taking all your money right there. 17 bucks.
Oh, wow, Barnes & Noble is crazy.
That's just for the original one. I didn't even buy the Google one, the second one.
Is that like the special edition director's cut? Because I want the commentary.
With extra blue.
Okay. Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat Annihilation on one disc, special edition. It's coming out April 19th.
With director's commentary and apology.
Apology. Wow, that's funny.
Moving on.
Yeah. Oh, wait. It does say that both discs are going to include the Mortal Kombat video game trailer in HD.
Oh, I guess that's the way of apologizing.
Because you won't be able to get that on the internet for free.
Exactly. Yeah. I was about to say, I was like, I could get that
20 minutes for after free. Its release.
I could go pay $20, $30 at Barnes & Noble and get the trailer, or I could get it online for free. Which one am I going to pick?
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat or an actual book?
All right. Let's move on, because we don't want to bash the movies any longer. Jeff, this is your time. You know, every week we give our guests a chance to talk about any one topic they want to talk about. This is your chance. You tell us a topic, we'll discuss it for you.
Girl Scout Thin Mint cookies.
Oh, love them.
How many cookies are actually in a box?
I'm going to go with...
That's 48.
See, I say two.
Two?
Yeah, because when you open the box, there's two sealed silver columns, and in my mind, each one of those is a cookie. Because don't tell me that once you open it, you don't eat all of them, right?
What?
Once you tear open the tinfoil, you eat all the cookies in that stack.
Yes, you do.
So that's one cookie.
I eat them all.
Right.
Right, but what he's saying is you're not going to eat just one. You're going to eat that whole stack, so that's one cookie.
Might as well be one cookie.
Thin Mints? Thin Mints, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You open the box, there's two silver stacks.
Right.
You tear one of those silver stacks open. Do you ever wrap it back up and put it back in the box, or do you just plow through it?
I plow through it.
That's one cookie then, right? So the box has two cookies in it.
It's not like Cookie Monster. I'm nom 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 nom.
Yes! You can't do that with the peanut butter ones, because it's just not... It's a Thin Mint thing, right? You open the package, you go for it.
It's a Thin Mint thing. Yeah, no, that's true, because you eat the peanut butter ones, you have to stop and drink. The Thin Mints,
yes,
just keep going.
Yes, the Thin Mints, you can just go forever. You're like, ah.
Nom, 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 nom,
nom, nom, nom, nom, nom, nom, nom.
And I got to say, I love working at a video game company that have enough people working there that are old enough to have daughters in Girl Scouts, because those sign-up sheets are on every refrigerator in the studio come February. It's like you're never hurting for the Girl Scout cookies.
Okay, Jeff, today, this year, my daughter's winning. Can you buy a lot, please?
I have got a freezer full of them right now.
You know, I'm very upset. I didn't even get, nobody even asked me to buy any this year.
Have you not gone near a grocery store or a shopping mall in the past 4 weeks?
I live one block away. I've been there almost every day.
They haven't been out front selling them?
No.
Oh, you got to get a better grocery store.
No, normally, I got Girl Scouts knocking on my door.
Yeah, sure you do. Ooh,
not gonna go there.
Yeah, don't say that on the radio. On the podcast.
Well, podcast, hopefully, you mean. Hopefully my daughter, who's two now, in about 4 maybe 5 years, she'll be a Girl Scout, and I can get them that way.
No, they're not.
That's right. Then you don't even send her out. You just fill the sheet out yourself, right?
It's exactly. Like no private
cash. You still had to pay for them. They're not free.
No, I'll pay for them. I got no problem paying for them.
I still owe my daughter until she gets out of my house. That's how much I owe.
She gets free room and board for the rest of her life.
I don't know, 18 and done.
All right. So this is going to bring us to the close of the show. Do we have any Twitter questions, guys?
I forgot to ask for some, so.
All right. And let's start out with shout-outs. Donnie, give you shout-outs.
I want to give a shout-out to everybody who loves Donnie. and
all Jeff. Two of you.
Thank you. Mom, grandma, yes, they do love me. I want to thank you. Shout out to Jeff. Man, thank you. I wanted to say I'm sorry. I'm not really a big fan of first-person shooters, but I love that you came and talked to me anyway.
I've never worked on a first-person
shooter. It's not a first-person shooter, Donnie.
What's the name? Oh, you didn't work on the first one. My bad. I'm sorry.
No. I've only been at Volition since 2006.
Okay, my bad. I'm sorry. You didn't work on the first one.
For a second, I thought maybe he thought he worked on Homefront.
No. I played the first one, and I didn't care.
But, all right. And Hard Rock, do you have any shout-outs?
But still, I thank you.
You're welcome. I guess. I don't know. Are you saying I'm responsible for all the first-person shooters in the world? I'm kind of confused.
That's just part of Donnie's charm. He has no idea what he's talking about half the time. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I know.
All right, Hard Rock, do you have any shout-outs?
I want to give a shout-out first to Donnie's mom and grandma. Second, I want to give a shout-out to Jeff. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
I hope you guys invite me back at some point. This is great fun.
Absolutely, man. You're always welcome to come back.
Anytime.
Tomorrow? Yep. Tomorrow?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. No, we're not that close yet.
Oh, okay. Dang it.
I got to get some work done, too. It's the last day of the milestone. So.
And I want to give a shout out to Samoa Girl Scout cookies, which are my favorite. More than Thin Mints.
Samoas?
Yep.
You're definitely not coming over tomorrow.
We just got finished talking about
that. Our budding friendship now has a gigantic wedge shoved in it.
Yeah. How could you say Samoas are better than Thin Mints?
Yeah, I don't know. That's
Okay. You know what? I'm not a super big fan of Thin Mints, to tell you the truth.
I thought I messed up with my shout out.
So when you guys kick him off the podcast for this heresy, can I just take a spot?
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay, if there's anybody that's going to take my spot, it would be Jeff, because these two other guys don't bring any credibility to the show whatsoever. So,
hey, man.
Look at that. Donnie couldn't even finish his sentence.
I'm the comic relief for the show, man. I'm like the idiot abroad.
Yes.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
Forget the abroad part. It's just the idiot.
You're an idiot. That's right.
All right, and I want to give a big shout out to, first of all, Jeff. Thank you very much. It's more than an honor to have you on the show with us.
Wow, I don't know how to respond to that other than thanks. I mean, I love doing these types of things. This is great.
All right, and I have to give another huge shout out to Undead Dog. He has gone beyond, belief and developing our new header for the website. And our new Trophy Horse logo. Thank you very much, Undead Dog. I mean, it's more than I expected you ever to do for us, dude. And Nico from Front Towards Gamer, for all your help with the website. You know, I'm new to this, as our listeners know. You know, developing the website and whatnot, it's all new to me. And these guys are coming through and helping me tremendously. And I can't thank you guys enough. So that's my shout-outs. Do you have anything you want to say, gentlemen, before we close it out?
Can I give a shout out?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff. I totally skipped you. Oh, Jeff?
Man. Yeah, no. The Girl Scouts. I mean, come on. They make the Thin Mint cookies. We got to give them the shout out.
Yes, true.
Shout out to all the Thin Mint selling Girl Scouts.
Donnie just made that sound so bad once again.
All right, Jeff, do you have any other shout outs?
I guess not.
Some more?
No.
No.
That's it, buddy. You're out of there.
Just no.
You dip a Samoa in like a glass of milk, and then all that like coconut flakes off, and then you got coconut bits. That's just wrong, right?
Yes.
Coconut is wrong, period, man.
All right. So until next week, guys, happy trophy hunting.
Peace out.
Take care, guys. Samoas.
No.